Me? We good? I'm glad to be back. I've been gone for the last couple weeks. I've been out in Hebron at New Life preaching this series out there. As Dave said, over the next couple weeks, we'll be going over the series of what I like to call the cost of salvation. So we start off thinking about this. Like, what are some of the things that we say about salvation? We say it's a deliverance from sin. We admit that Jesus died for it, and we call it a free gift from God. But while these things are true, they are not the complete and total picture of salvation. There is a larger cost that Christ paid to grant us the gift of salvation, and there will be a cost that you and I have to pay to claim it. So let's look at the definition of the word cost. It's the effort, loss, or sacrifice necessary to obtain or achieve a thing. And while we often talk about the sacrifice that Christ paid to purchase our salvation, we often skip over the effort or the loss that he endured in his life. So to look at this, we need to go back to the beginning. And to go back to the beginning, we're going to go to the book of John, the first chapter, verse 1 through 4, and verse 14. And it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind." Verse 14 goes on to read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So if we go back and we look at the beginning of things, before Christ's life even started, is where the cost of salvation began. The down payment on the cost of salvation was the loss of heaven for a time to Christ. He gave up his place next to the Father. Now it's at this point that I have to be honest with you guys. If I was next to God and God gave me the option of staying there or coming down to pay the cost for you guys, I'm not coming. I'm staying with God. I'm not giving up my place there. But Christ chose to come down anyway. And he didn't only choose to come down in a higher form. He chose to come down and serve people that would not appreciate him. When he came down, this caused Christ some humbleness. So we look at, for the life of Christ, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 53, in the second verse, it says, "He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground." Now, the thing about a root out of dry ground is that it doesn't seem to have a chance of becoming anything. It is born into a desolate and desperate situation. It is born into a lifeless and a barren surrounding. In other words, Jesus was born to a dried up people, a people that had lost their connection to God. Verse 2 continues to go on, and it says, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." Now, this is important to understand when it comes to the cost of him paying humbleness, because it's telling you that he didn't come down. The king of the world did not come down into majesty. He did not come down into a royal position. He did not come down into the upper class. He didn't even come down into the middle class. He came down born into poverty, the lowest form of the Jews, considered dogs by the Romans. Now I know what it's like to be born into poverty. There are many of us who know what it's like to be looked down upon by society because the people, the neighborhood, or the family that we were born into. This was a cost that Jesus had to pay in his living. Verse 3 goes on and he says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and was familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem." At this point, Jesus has to pay obscurity, patience, and ridicule. If you read your Bible, you'll notice that between the ages of 12 and 30, it's quite silent on Jesus. Obscurity. Can you imagine what it would be like being the Son of God, knowing that you are the chosen one, and yet you cannot speak? You have to live 18 years of your life knowing that you can heal the world, and yet you cannot act. You play your role as a carpenter's son, the lowest in society who nobody expects anything from. Patience. But there's also a form of ridicule that we in the church don't quite often talk about. But there's a reality in the culture that Jesus grew up in that we must face. Jesus was a 30-year-old man. He was a 30-year-old unmarried man who kept his group, who hung out with the fellas. There is a way that Jesus would have been looked at in the society that he lived in. They would have questioned him as promiscuous. They would have questioned his sexuality. But it doesn't stop there. Even when Jesus' ministry starts, what's the first thing he does? He begins to call disciples to him. He continues to walk around in the world and in society unmarried with a bunch of men. He would have been ridiculed. He would have been called into question, like many members of our society now are. Ridicule. But it doesn't stop simply with society. As Jesus goes along in his ministry and he begins to perform the miracles of God and begins to speak the word of God, the Jews begin to mock him. He goes to heal a little girl. He tells them that she is just asleep, and what do? They laugh at him. And in all this time, Christ knows who he is. The Father has already anointed him as who he is, and yet the world still ridicules him. But Jesus' cross does not stop there. He has to pay in the disbelief from his family and the abandonment by his friends. There was a time where Jesus went into a house and a large crowd had gathered for him to teach, and yet his family stood outside trying to reach him because they thought that he was out of his mind. Jesus was teaching his disciples. See, Jesus at a time had way more than 12 disciples. But his teachings were hard, and the way that he was asking people to live, it was hard for them to accept. And the Bible tells us that many people turned away. How many of us have been through this? These are things that we experience in our lives every day. Family believing that you will not accomplish what you have set out to accomplish. Friends walking away from you because you are not the type of person that they want to be around. These were all costs that Jesus paid in his life. It's important for us to understand the total cost that Jesus paid for salvation. Because at times we move through the world as if we have a disconnect from him. We view Jesus from a standard where he is way up here in life and our lives are down here. Yet Jesus paid the cost that we pay every day in living. He paid an agony of the soul. The Bible tells us prior to going to the cross that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was praying, and he was in so much anger that his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood. Has anybody else in here ever been in so much spiritual anger that you felt like you could not take it anymore? And you find yourself crying and screaming out to God to take this cup from you. You don't want it anymore. Well, guess what? Jesus paid that cost too. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 and 4, verse 4 and 5 continues to go on. And it says, surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we were healed. The thing I love about Isaiah 53 is the fact that it separates. While it is a prophecy, it is a prophecy about Christ's life, crucifixion, and death. Verse 4 and 5 point out the pain, both emotional and physical. But not only the pain, it goes on to highlight the restraint that it would have cost Christ to pay the price of salvation. He was turned on by the people he came to save. Christ was taken in front of the courts, And the people that he had came to save cried out for him to be crucified, cried out for a criminal to be released in his place. He was humiliated and stripped of his clothing in front of the people, yet he did not speak a word. He was whipped, mocked, slapped, and spit on, yet he did not lift a finger. After all of this, in a weakened and brutalized state, he was forced to literally carry his cross to the place where they would crucify him. Yet he did not lift a finger. He was hung up for the world to see. Yet he did not give in. He was mocked while on that cross by the people standing there and by the criminals being crucified with him. He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Yet he did not come down. And when all of these costs of Christ's life have been totaled up, when all of the installment payments of the cost have been brought in, and the final payment had been presented to Christ, Christ spoke three words, and he fulfilled the final contract. The final payment was made. Christ spoke, "It is finished." And he hung his head and he died, saying that, "I have done all that I came to do. I have given all that is required of me. I have given the final payment for your salvation." He hung his head and he died. Why? Why would he pay that price? The book of Isaiah goes on to tell us, because all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us have turned to our own ways. All of us have walked outside of the will of God. But that still doesn't tell you why he did it. So the Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world." Love was the final cost that Jesus paid. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever," meaning you and me, "whosoever," it wasn't based upon race or political party, "whosoever," it was not based upon socioeconomic standing, "whosoever," it was not based upon your nationality, "but whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." So as we go through this world, we need to understand, when we're going through emotional pain, Jesus already paid the cross, paid the cost. When we're ridiculed by our friends and our family, Jesus already paid that cost. When our loved ones tell us that we will never be nothing in this life, Jesus already paid that cost. When we're going through mental and emotional issues, Jesus already paid that cross. When we're struggling to pick up ourselves in this world, Jesus already paid that cost, that we might have everlasting life. When we communicate with other people in this world, we forget to tell them that part of the story. We tell them about how Jesus died for our sins, that we might be saved from them, but we do not tell them how Jesus lived. Jesus was a living sacrifice. He lived so that way we may understand how to live inside of the will of God. And knowing that we could never be justified through the law, knowing we could never be found righteous by the law, he gave up his life as a final sacrifice to pay the price that we might live by accepting him. These are the things that our societies are missing nowadays. We forget that there is somebody who already walked in our shoes. There is somebody who already experienced our pain. There is somebody who already gave everything that they had to show us how to survive through the suffering. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. At times, our grief can seem overbearing. It can drive us into a dark place. I know this probably better than many people. For years, I was somebody that God did not intend for me to be, because in grief, I had lost my focus on the cost that Christ had paid for me. Many times we go through things in this world, and in here I'm speaking directly to addiction. We go through things in this world and we feel that we need things to numb the pain. We need things to get through the darkest days of our lives, whether it's coming from childhood or things that have happened as adults. We forget that even Christ paid the cost by facing temptation in his own life. For that's all addiction is a temptation. You do not even suffer through that alone. All of the cost for everything we face, for everything we go through, Christ has already paid. The question is, are you ready to accept the cost that Christ paid for your salvation? Let us pray. Father, I come to you today thanking you for all that you are. Thanking you that you found us important enough, you found us valuable enough to send your son down here to this lowly earth to die for our sins. But even more than dying, you sent him here to live, to show us how we can be a part of your will. Father, you always hear us when we pray. Father, you always hear us as we cry. And I thank you that you are always a listening God. But you are not just a listening God, you are a speaking God. I thank you for the words that you send into my heart to share with your people. And I thank you for the words that they will go forth and share with the rest of the world. Father, everything has been covered by the blood of your son. I just pray that you bring it into us to accept that covering. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen.